Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada. Here is Peter Royce.
Coal bed methane. Coal miners fear it because it's deadly and highly explosive. In the last 20 years, it's changed from an obscure energy resource to supplying almost a tenth of the total U.S. natural gas production. Along the way, it's generated a lot of public controversy, and its production has wreaked havoc on many American landscapes. Coal methane is now on the radar in British Columbia. Plans for its extraction are popping up all over the province, places like Courtney, Fernie, Princeton, Hat Creek, Hudson's Hope, and Iskut. Arthur Caldicott heads up the energy program at the Dogwood Initiative, and he joins me on the phone this morning from Victoria. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning.
So what is coal bed methane?
I'm sorry?
So maybe you could just tell us a bit about what actually is coal bed methane?
Coal bed methane is natural gas. Methane is actually the chemical name of the molecule of natural gas, as well as the stuff that comes in coal. And it's no different than natural gas. And really the big issue with coal bed methane isn't so much the fuel itself, it's how you get it. Because it's immersed in coal, extracting it is a nightmarish process.
So is there, wherever there's coal, there's always coal bed methane? Is that the case?
Virtually wherever there's coal bed methane. However, the methane is held in the coal by water pressure or by an impervious layer of rock over the coals. And so wherever you have a coal mine, for example, the methane has pretty much desorbed, is the technical word, has pretty much desorbed from the coal and evaporated. Or wherever the coal outcrops on the surface, or wherever coal is not immersed in water, the methane gas has probably all evaporated millions of years ago. Go ahead.
So now maybe you can tell us what kinds of mining practices are then used to extract the methane from the coal?
Let me describe a little bit how the methane's in the coal.
Okay.
Coal is in layers in the earth, in the surface of the earth, pretty much like jelly is in a donut or in a brownie. And within the coal is the methane gas. It's actually absorbed somewhat like a sponge within the coal, and it's held there by an enormous amount of water. So the jelly or the coal substrate, which is 150, 200 million years old, is immersed in water. And the first thing you have to do to get the methane gas out is get rid of the water. If you can imagine putting a straw in a big lake and starting to suck, you would never manage to drain that lake. And it's pretty much the same situation with a coal bed. In order to remove all that water that's holding the methane gas in place, you need to put down literally hundreds of wells in a production project in order to remove all the water. Otherwise, new water just floods in where you've been trying to remove it from your single well. So a commercial project for coal bed methane involves hundreds of wells. Each one of these wells is connected, they're all interconnected by two pipelines, one for the methane gas and one for the water that's being removed, a road in order to get service equipment and the drilling rig up to the well, and water disposal facilities, and compressors and a bunch of other infrastructure. So coal bed methane production, wherever it happens, involves literally a landscape that's littered with hundreds of wells, roads, pipelines, noise, dust, and 24 hours a day of industrial activity.
That must have an extraordinary visual impact on the landscape.
It has a profound visual impact, and it certainly has a profound ecological impact. The water in particular is a big concern. Even if it's potable water, it's in such huge quantity that it overwhelms the landscape. It has to be put someplace. And in the first years of coal bed methane production in the United States, they simply dumped it on the surface of the land, which overwhelmed the land. And because the water is most frequently saline, it's not pH neutral water, it's highly saline. Because of that, it tended to salt up the soil, so ranch lands and farmlands tended to get salted up and become inarable as a result. of the water production. If you dump it in streams, it has effect on fish-bearing habitat and can overwhelm natural hydrologies in that respect. The provincial government in BC has a nominal policy of reinjecting the water back in to a deeper cavity under the coal, but in most of British Columbia, those cavities don't exist. So the BC government policy with respect to produced water doesn't have much value.
So is this produced water considered a pollutant?
It is in the United States. In Canada, there's no regulation that applies to it in that respect, but in the United States, it's considered a pollutant, and it's regulated, and companies that want to produce water have to get specific permits to do it and follow specific practices.
Now, does it get into the water table and actually have any impact on water supply through wells and those sort of ways we draw water from the land?
The coal geologists are fond of saying every coal field is different, and the answer to your question is it's different everywhere. Sometimes the water is potable water, sometimes it's saline, sometimes it contains other toxic elements. But once you've got the water out, or once you've removed a substantial amount of water, now the methane starts to desorb from the coal. So the water you're removing has increasing amounts of methane in it, and the methane itself, because it's now free to desorb from the coal, starts to move up through the surface of the earth, and it frequently gets into the groundwater that farmers and villages use for their own drinking supplies. And there are many, many examples in the United States where coal bed methane production is more advanced than it is in British Columbia, where people can actually put a match under their tap and ignite their drinking water. So it's a pretty frightening scenario.
Now, I also understand that there's an issue of flaring. Can you tell us about flaring and why that's a concern?
Certainly. Flaring is a big concern in Alberta, for example, because the gas production from a gas well is in such high quantity that when you flare a well, you're burning off an enormous amount of gas very inefficiently. So there's all sorts of toxic byproducts that come out of that. Coal bed methane is a different case than the kind of flaring that we're probably more familiar with in Alberta, in as much as the wells produce a lot less gas, but in the early stages of a project, the wells are not yet connected together and the gas is not yet collected in order to be moved into a bigger pipeline as an economic product. So in the early stages, you may only have 4 or 5 or 20 wells, but they're not connected together, and you're producing the water from them. So you've got a certain amount of methane gas coming out, but no place to put it. So all they do is ignite a pipe at the top of the well and let the gas flare. It's noisy. As I say, it burns very inefficiently, so there are many toxic byproducts that come out of that kind of burn. It's unsightly. And then frequently, like in British Columbia, much of the coal bed methane potential exists right under towns. The town of Merritt, for example, or Princeton, or Courtney, or Campbell River, Hudson's Hope, Fernie. I mean, all of these towns sit right on coal fields. Many of the towns like Nanaimo, for example, are actually there because of the coal. And so if they start flaring on the edges of these towns, it's going to create a great deal of safety risk and public concern.
We notice that there's plans for coal bed methane popping up all over BC. So what are the economic and political dynamics that have led to that trend?
Excellent question. Coal bed methane costs a lot more to produce than conventional natural gas. So consider yourself as a gas company, and you have $100 million to invest in a project. You're going to go for conventional natural gas all the time because it's cheaper to produce. In order to equalize coal bed methane in terms of the investment potential, what the government in British Columbia has done has slashed at the royalty regime that's in place. They refer to it as a regime. It's a complex set of algorithms and calculations and rules whereby you come up with a royalty figure. For conventional natural gas, they slashed that effectively in half from conventional natural gas for coal bed methane. And that has kind of induced a number of companies to invest in BC's coal bed methane. It isn't a flood of investment, but it's significant. It's probably, I haven't done any tallying recently, but I would guess it's in the order of $100, $200 million investment in leases, in drilling rights in British Columbia for coal bed methane exclusively.
So that's like altering the sort of tax balance between the natural gas and the coal bed methane. Is that the case?
Something like that, yes. It just makes coal bed methane as attractive as conventional natural gas for an investor.
Is there also a supply pressure at work here?
Well, there is. I mean, coal bed natural oil, you know, oil has reached record prices internationally, and gas is the gas price of natural gas is related to the price of oil, so the price of gas has gone up, the price of coal has gone up, the price of all fuels has gone up considerably in the last year and in the last 5 years since the year 2000. As a result, of course, that makes things that were uneconomic when natural gas was priced at $2 a thousand cubic feet. Now that it's natural gas is priced at $6 a thousand cubic feet, a lot more gas potential attracts investment in drilling operations. So as the price rises, people go after more and more marginal operations. And it gets dirtier and dirtier because eventually it becomes bottom feeding of the worst order. Anything is worth going after.
Now, this must be a huge concern for communities that are targeted for coal bed methane exploration and everything. How can communities respond to this sort of challenge?
Well, let me describe a little bit what's happened in BC. In the last two or three years, the government has issued drilling licenses with very little notice to communities as to what they're doing. So the government issues a drilling license. A company comes into town and holds a public information meeting and says, we're here, we've got drilling rights, and you've got all this phenomenal coal bed methane potential. And the town says, great, there's some economic activity in town. I mean, it's a case in point in towns like many Vancouver Island towns and towns in the interior of BC where they're on economic hard times. Even though Vancouver seems to be flourishing, the rest of the province is suffering greatly these days. And so they say, great, but then they start to learn a little bit about coal bed methane and what its production entails and get pretty antsy about it. And as a result, there are perhaps 8 resolutions now passed by various towns in British Columbia calling on the government to put a halt on coal bed methane development, don't issue any more licenses, and let's sort out this business of produced water, and let's sort out what happens on the landscape, and landowner rights, and all of the other issues that have been such a problem in the United States, and are a problem in Alberta, and are emerging in British Columbia. Let's sort those things out before you get going on this. The government is stonewalling. They're bullying their way through, continuing to issue licenses and tell communities that everything's going to be okay. The fact is, things are not okay. And the Union of British Columbia Municipalities at their AGM last September passed a resolution calling once again for a halt to coal bed methane development. The provincial government so far has refused to listen.
So how can people find out more about this issue then?
There are a couple of websites, key websites to go to. One is cbmwatch.ca. Another is dogwoodinitiative.org, West Coast Environmental Law. Those three websites all have a lot of information. All you need to do really is just Google coal bed methane in British Columbia, and you'll get a number of hits which will bring you directly to me or my organization. And we'll be happy to talk with you and get the ball rolling from there.
Well, that's great. Thanks very, very much for talking with us this morning about this important issue.
It's my pleasure.
I've been speaking with Arthur Caldicott of the Dogwood Initiative, the citizens' resource for coal bed methane activism website that Arthur just mentioned is at www.cbmwatch.ca.
You've been listening to a program produced by Red Eye, an alternative media collective which broadcasts every Saturday morning from 9 until noon on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM, in Vancouver, Canada.